Yeah, the Penguin Brothers. Dear Alistair, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say. You might yarn up strong. 1-800-422-416. Call the daily number. Yarn up with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry, host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. BB and Bumper Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. A newly found 200-year-old documents detailed a life in Western Australia, first European settlement. Historians say more than 200 newly uncovered documents could give fresh insights into Western Australia's earliest European history and pre-settlement Indigenous culture. We're going to catch up a yarn with Dr. Shane Burke, University of Notre Dame Senior Lecturer in Archaeology and History. On the line, Dr. Shane, good morning. How are you? Dr. Shane, not there. We'll try and get Dr. Shane back online and have that conversation, very important conversation. But it just makes me think how documents from 200 years ago have been uncovered, and they're sitting in a museum, and arrived from Sydney back in the 1820s and 1830s. And a team of six Australian historians, archaeologists and experts on Indigenous culture, including the University of Notre Dame Senior Lecturer, Dr. Shane Burke, I'll just get back online, and hope the doctor will deepen the knowledge of WA's history. But yeah, we'll get Dr. back online to continue that conversation, very important conversation, all the conversation important here on National Talk Black. Have your say, you mob, 1-800-422-416.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it like you stole it, son, drive it.
Well, I've lived and worked a long time across the great divide.
Yeah, today across the Great Divide was Trevor Pryor there and his sons there, starting that's a deadly track. But we're going to catch up with Dr. Shane Burke, University of Notre Dame Senior Lecturer in Archaeology History. And like I said, talk about the newly found 200-year-old documents, detailed life in Western Australia's first European settlement and also the Indigenous culture. Online, Dr. Shane Burke, good morning. How are you?
I'm going very, very well. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. They say seek and you'll find. And you found some documents, 200 newly uncovered documents, leading back from 1820s, 1830s. So great for a wide Australia, but also First Nation people of Australia as well, yes?
Yes, it is. These documents, there's about 200 of them. They were in the New South Wales State Archives. And the material there describes the British first coming to the south coast of Western Australia at a place called King George's Sound, or as it's referred to as Albany today.
Yes.
And these people arrive, they're British soldiers, but because they're not a part of the Swan River colony yet, which is established in 1829, it's only just a little camp. And the interaction between the local Miang group, which is the local Noongar group for the area,
yep,
and the British, is far more amenable than what happens later, unfortunately. So therefore, the British are recording these people, some of the things that they did, and relationships are reasonably good, despite the fact that these people have taken these people's land, but it's only in a small way between 1826 and 1831.
Can we go back to the conversation regarding the 200 newly uncovered documents? They were in New South Wales State Archives. So we're talking about hidden away in a museum at the bottom of the file, and here we find the documents. Can you paint that picture, please?
Yeah, look, it's sort of like that. It's just they weren't that hard to find, and I'm not too sure about the story that goes with the lost documents, because even
yes,
though it sounds good, They can be found, but usually official documents like these, and this is what they are, documents that are written by the commandant of the actual camp itself at Albany, back to his superior, who happens to be the governor of New South Wales, who is Rolf Darling at the time. Western Australia is not incorporated, as we know it today, Western Australia is not incorporated into the greater part of Australia. It's still called New Holland. Queensland, for example, is still called New South Wales at this time, as is Victoria and South Australia. So it gives you a bit of an idea.
So you didn't have like an office in those states, so to speak?
Yeah, that is right. Ralph Darwin, the governor of New South Wales, didn't like the French. And therefore, he put all these little camps, little military establishments, both in northern Australia, up in what we now refer to as Northern Territory, down in Port Phillip Bay, which we now call Victoria, and over in New Holland, which we now call Western Australia, to keep the French away. But, of course, he's putting these military establishments in areas that are already occupied, obviously, by the local indigenous groups.
Yes.
So that wasn't considered. It never was considered, of course, but it was there to keep away another European power. So these documents are official ones saying this is what happens today. We've been talking to these people. We've built this. We've cleared so much land. Not much land. They didn't need much land for 30 soldiers and about 30 convicts. And it's a little bit of the day-to-day lives of what goes on at these camps between those 5 years before Albany is actually then incorporated into the Swan River Colony, as we call it today, Western Australia.
So when we look at documents like, say, going back to in the 1800s, does that give more meat on the bone regarding First Nation native title claim and to anything to that effect regarding First Nation culture?
Yes. Look, I'm an archaeologist. I also teach history as well. And you can have many different interests in those disciplines. Some people just concentrate on a certain type of history, a certain type of archaeology. I like the early days of the British arriving and contact with the Indigenous people, First Nations people. And I also like looking at prehistoric archaeology, which goes back, as we know, 65,000 years. That's a long time by anybody's measure.
Yes.
Some of the documents that we also received were actually before Darling established the establishment at Albany, but they were put in place by a man by the name of Philip Parker King, who did a circumnavigation of Australia and stopped the King George's Sound in 1822. Now, his book's been published and a few other things that have occurred, but what we've got now are his primary sources of him putting down for the first time, listing the Noongar language.
Yes.
In other words, he has words there from his own home of Sydney. He was one of the first Australian-born explorers of Australia too, by the way.
Okay.
King was born in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And he's using Sydney dialect, and he's also comparing it with the Miang from the Albany area. So he's got these words down, and look, I'm not a Noongar person or anything like that, but I know some Noongar words, and you can see a similarity with the dialect between Albany and the Perth area where I am. Mm. So there's a similarity there. He mentions Aboriginal people by name, which is fantastic. Makari gets mentioned.
So there would have been some communication back then with the First Nation people in regard to understanding. Dr. Shane. I lost Dr. Shane. There's Dr. Shane Burke, University of Notre Dame Senior Lecturer in Archaeology and History, and we're talking about the newly found 200-year-old documents, detail life in Western Australia's first European settlement and Indigenous culture. And we'll try and get him back. A very interesting conversation. It gives proof into regarding First Nation people and the ownership and the so-called communication that went on when the white sails came to this country. Have your say, Yanup Song. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Shimmers in that little black dress as you walk across the room. Now I've got nothing left to say. I've got one thing on my mind. You still take my breath that moves me through space and time. Now I drink this wine. Shimmers in that little black dress. The fall to the floor as your body moves. Now I've got nothing left to say.
Yeah, that's a little black dress. Jason Fallon here on your daily program, National Talk Black. We'll catch up again with Dr. Shane Burke. You there, Doctor?
Yes, I am. How are you going?
Yeah, good. Yeah, got cut off there. So thank you very much coming back to the conversation. What goes in my mind in regard to the 200 newly uncovered documents found in the New South Wales State Archives? Just understanding, like you said, they are in the archives, disinformation. But when you say newly found, 230-odd years holding this information, How did they come to the surface, 2021?
Well, look, I mean, we kind of knew that they were there, but it's more to do with the fact that because this settlement, as we were discussing, was run from New South Wales, mm-hmm. it's often very hard in our big country that we live in to go to these places and actually access the material. So we need funding and so forth to go and get these things, because these documents, New South Wales State Archives have been fantastic, by the way, in mm-hmm. working with us.
Yes.
They do the scanning, of course. They don't bring the stuff over to us because, you know, nobody lets out their material. So this material has been scanned, sent to me as massive files over a Dropbox of some form, and that's what we're using now. They do contain some very good information, very interesting information about the Aboriginal people's lives in the area. The archaeology of the area is actually very well known and very, very interesting in regards to how people adapted to rise in sea levels and so forth.
Sure.
But at that ethnographic period, we're talking about the British describing what these people are doing. There's always a problem there, though, as you can imagine, because these people, the British, don't know the culture of the local groups, the First Nation groups, so they're only describing what they can see, often getting it wrong in regards to especially kinship systems and so forth.
Exactly.
But there is a reasonably good interaction between the two groups. There are friendships made. Definite friendships, for example, between Alexander Colley and Macari, for example, the Aboriginal warrior, which all abodes well for the future, which didn't unfortunately occur, and that's the tragic thing in many ways.
So when you look at it, my thought is that Australia's got a history, black or white, good or bad, and the history is a history. And so information that comes to the surface, it's good information, it's true information, and should be told, should it not?
Look, you're not going to get any argument from me whatsoever. Look, I mean, this material was also found because in Western Australia in 2026 and 2029, we are marking the bicentenary of the British coming to this part of the world, part of Australia.
Yes.
Now, I spoke to a local Noongar man a few years ago, and the word celebration can't be used in this case.
Exactly.
However, you can use the word like marking because, you know, a new culture's arrived, and as you've said, precisely what you've said, this information, whether it be good, bad or otherwise, needs to be put out there so we have a better understanding so we can all move forward.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm aiming at in regards to my input into the bicentenary as the archaeologist and the historian that I am.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important to realise the culture of the other people who were here first of all. And of course, the British arrive. Aboriginal people are still a major contributor to our culture in Western Australia today, of course. They're part of our society, as we all know. It's the same thing in Queensland and so forth. However, we do need to understand the interaction at the start, and these documents are very important for making present-day people understand the two groups that are involved.
Yeah, powerful tool, powerful instruments. Thank you so very much, Dr. Shane. All the best to you and your team, your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Yeah, thank you very much indeed. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Deadly yarn there. Dr. Shane Burke, University of Notre Dame, Senior Lecturer in Archaeology and History. And we're talking about the newly found 200-year-old documents that detail life in Western Australia's first European settlement and Indigenous culture. So there it is. Like I said, let the truth be told, and whether it be good news, bad news, black or white, you know, the news is news. It is the history of this country. And let the truth come forward, let the truth be told. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Before you claim this community, you gotta understand. You better listen up now. You gotta walk the land. Put your feet in the sand and get yourself in the creek. You gotta listen to the elders, hear the spirits speak. Take a peek through the window and tell me what you see. I see the love and the hate, but the people run free. It's not all about me and the kids on the street. This is how the land and the people meet.
As I look outside my window, I see the world go insane. But you're here to remind me a few good things remain. As I look outside my window, I see the world go insane. But you're here to remind me a few good things remain.
Waking up every day is a struggle. When I walk at the door, all I see is the trouble. All the kids walking around with no real education, hating the way and we cop discrimination. No need for appreciation, just understanding. We need our people to all put their hands in one mob, demanding our rights for our land. And tribes come together to draw a line in the sand.
As I look outside my window, I see the world go insane. But you're here to remind me a few good things remain.
Peace.
As I look outside my window, I see the world go insane. But you're here to remind me a few good things remain.
Peace.
Are we gonna
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbleboot Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, urgent Disability Royal Commission, extension needed to stop violence against First Peoples with disability. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Sister June Raymer, Deputy Chair Executive Officer. Online, June, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning and thank you. I'd like to acknowledge all our elders, you know, across this land, and like to acknowledge we're on Aboriginal lands here. I'm down in Sydney on Gadigal country.
Thank you, June, very much, my sister. Let the mob know who your mob, where you're from. Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm a North Coast girl, North Coast, New South Wales. My mob are Gumbungja, Dungali people up in the Nambucca, Coffs Harbour region.
Okay, fantastic. You're Deputy Chair, Deputy Chief Executive Officer for First People Disability Network Australia. And we're talking about the urgent Disability Royal Commission extension needed to stop violence against First Peoples with disability. Just highlight some of the violence that we're talking about regarding First People with disability, sister.
You know, the Disability Royal Commission is looking at violence, neglect and abuse across all settings for all people with disability. But FPDN are particularly interested in stories of Aboriginal people with disability, and when we talk about violence, that can be in, you know, many settings in a person's life, whether it's about being able to access, you know, appropriate healthcare, being able to access education or employment.
Yep.
So we need to hear the stories about, you know, what are the issues impacting on them to, you know, get the appropriate access or the appropriate supports in their life. And for many of our Aboriginal people with disability and Torres Strait Islander, that lack of access, that lack of knowledge or lack of support to, you know, have these opportunities in life is feel for many, particularly in rural and remote regions.
And look, and that's prevention of, a safe or equal platform, you could class it as violence towards a person.
Correct, correct. You know, if you're not allowed the same opportunities as everyone else to access whatever, you know, the appropriate health and well-being, you know, for you to have a good life, we would call that violence and neglect. And usually these are systemic issues.
Sure, so exactly.
We have to talk about the hard conversation around racism. Mm. So if you're a person living with disability and you happen to be Aboriginal or a Torres Strait Islander, you know, there are many access issues for you being included and having your say as an important member of this, you know, of our communities.
It's very sad, but we're talking about probably a double whammy here, aren't we, June? The fact that you're disabled, but the fact that you're black, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And we know that for sure in all the data, you know, in regards to incarceration rates, you know, in regards to, you know, people with disability not being given the opportunities for employment. So we need to have these conversations change, you know, the systemic issues, you know, that are happening. Whether it's in the health system, whether it's in the justice system, or the education system.
Exactly. So I suppose it puts a different spin on the phrase they've been using for COVID-19. We're all in this together. We need to work together and to give that equal opportunity to our brothers and sisters who are disabled.
Yeah. So the reason we've asked for this extension was because of COVID in general. What happened, we weren't able to get out in the communities, and particularly the Royal Commissioners themselves, to have hearings in appropriate settings where people felt comfortable to tell their story, you know, without being afraid of being whistleblower. Because unless we hear their voices and we hear the stories of our mob, we can't make change. So the reason we've asked for this extension, because during COVID, we really didn't do much for a whole year, so we haven't heard all the stories. We've got low data in regards to people given evidence and hearing from Torres Strait Islander people. But more importantly, we've asked for, you know, standalone hearings for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, particularly around the justice issues.
Well, when you look at a royal commission,
in a safe place. So we want our own hearings to happen across many jurisdictions, so our voices and our stories can be heard.
Exactly. I mean, we welcome royal commissions because it then hones in with a magnifying glass on the situation. But it's not good when we've got a royal commission during a pandemic because work cannot be done in regard to the royal commission. Yep. It sounds the case. It's June Roma there from she's the Deputy Chief Executive Officer, First Peoples Disability Network Australia, and talking about the urgent Disability Royal Commission extension needed to stop violence against First Peoples with disability. So beautiful conversation, very important conversation. Thank you very much, June, to join us there. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416.
Hey, what's it on your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, far north. And the radio station, First Nation, is BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, Autism Awareness Month is coming up, and we're going to catch up a yarn now with a beautiful young lady from Brisbane who has autism, and she's calling for a better representation of autism in media. And we're talking to Jessica Finn on the line. Jessica, good morning. How are you?
Hello. I'm good, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Now, where are you based? Where are you living, Jessica?
I'm currently living on the Sunshine Coast,
at the moment.
Yes.
I'm from Brisbane, born and raised, but I came here for the sea life.
All right, there you go. Born and raised Brisbane and moved north, Sunshine Coast. Fantastic. Now, we're talking about Autism Awareness Month that's coming up, and also calls for better representation of autism in media. So just to paint the picture for people out there and some of your statements here, Jessica, we're not unintelligent. And I've seen that show in media a lot. People make movies about us and they will make us look like we're so incapable. There's no need to treat us like we're still kids, even when we're in our 20s. So they're sort of statements that you've made. So you are still special people and you are human, my sister.
Oh, yes. I feel like that still happens in daily life as well, like not just... in media, so seeing it portrayed in a movie as well, like if you watch, like go online, it's pretty bad.
Sure.
In my opinion.
Like, it's degrading in a way, you would say.
It's pretty bad. Like, I feel like a lot of people don't understand autism fully because it's not a visible disability, really, and every single person on the spectrum is different. None of us are the same.
Exactly, exactly. And that's people with autism or without autism. Everybody's different is what you're saying.
Yeah, but like I'm friends with a lot of people on the spectrum as well in the group, and none of us, like we all have different quirks about us.
Yes.
Different things that trigger us and that as well, and sometimes we all react to stuff different. Like... one thing that I saw online when looking for jobs that aren't suitable for people with autism, I was surprised hospitality was on the list because I thrived at that.
Yeah.
Because I worked at a golf club in Brisbane for 3 years.
Okay.
After I graduated, because I was given the opportunity of having a school-based traineeship.
Yes. And what sort of work did you do at the golf course?
I served customers, like took their order and organised all that sort of thing and like went back and forth from the kitchen. So I did all hospitality stuff.
Yes, yes, yes. And you did that for 3 years?
Yes, from 2016 to 2019.
And are you working at the moment, Jessica?
No, I am currently unemployed, taking some time off during this pandemic thing and focusing more on my studies. Like, I'm currently doing Steps Pathways College, which I highly recommend.
Okay. And what are you learning there?
Independent living skills.
Okay.
And I also volunteer in their cafe.
Good girl. So that could create a job for you if you're volunteering. It could open up doors.
Yeah, it is.
Good.
They recently opened up Cafe on George.
Yep.
Which is at Caloundra, at our Steps facility there.
Good.
And I get to be there every Thursday.
Yep. Now, Steps Pathways College in Sunshine Coast, so you're learning how to live independently. Are you living independently at the moment?
Not 100%, no.
Okay.
I still share a house with my mum.
Okay, big shout out, Mum. Hello, Mum.
Yeah. Hi, Mum. I still share a place here.
Well, that's good. That's good. But your goal is to move out on your own and live independently, yep?
Yes, eventually. That good. Is something I would love to do.
No, fantastic. And so you could say you're an ambassador for people with autism and just showing the way that you can still live a deadly life, as we would explain, as a black man, and you can still live a deadly life, sister.
Yeah, because there is that negative thing that autism people can't live independently until they're much older, which I don't think is true. Like,
exactly.
I would like to think that's not true because it would be nice to have the same sort of freedom as any other 23-year-old out there.
Exactly. Well, you are showing the way and more power to you. And while you're living your life, you are virtually, like I said, showing the world that people with autism can still live a good life.
Okay.
And for people to respect people with autism, it's just like people with different personalities, how I see it, you know, and how you treat people.
Yes.
Respect.
Because we all deserve to be treated with respect.
Exactly.
And it's very important, like, for us to all treat each other.
Mm-hmm.
Nicely.
Yeah, and look, that's the world we live in. There's some nasty people out there and some disrespectful people, but we need to come together and rise above it. And like I said, love thy neighbour, love and respect people.
Oh, yes, I've heard that saying before because I went to a Catholic high school,
yes.
In college,
yes.
Which is another one I highly recommend for people on the autism spectrum.
Good. Good. Yeah. And so a lot of your friends are people with autism?
Not a lot of them, mainly just the odd few. The ones that I've made at Steps are, mainly, yeah.
Okay. Yep. And so you sort of help each other, don't you, in that way?
Yeah.
Because you go through the same discrimination, you could put it.
Yeah, here at Steps, it's 100% a safe environment for people with disabilities. Young people with disabilities.
Yes.
So I feel very welcome here.
Good.
So I've never had any issues.
Good.
Whereas if I was to go into the workplace or out mm-hmm. to the shops or school,
yes.
Even if it was a special school, you would still experience bullying and
of
that
course.
Sort of thing. And even at restaurants, like you would.
And we've got to call it out, don't we? If there's bully happening or racism that's happening, we've got to call it out and stamp it out. And we need to do it together as a community.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Jessica, regarding jobs, applying for jobs, interview, how are you going in that department? You're confident to go in for an interview?
Not at the moment. I'm not ready at that stage.
Okay.
Because I feel like I'm very busy in my day-to-day life at the moment. Like, mm-hmm. I have a routine
sure,
that I'm pretty
yep.
happy with.
Yes, yes, yes.
Steps and also TAFE
mm-hmm.
on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So I am pretty packed at the moment.
Sure.
So I do like to focus more on what I have. But
in that routine, Jessica, you do your normal routine, but... you'll come across different people in that routine, and opportunities could come about as you're talking to people, meeting people, and doors can open up.
Oh yes, I do agree with that. Yes, things could change. Like, this TAFE course is only for 6 more months, and then I'm done.
Yes,
hopefully. So that's all good. But
and once you're done, then you can start looking around and start applying for jobs. And create your future.
Yeah.
Good. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, it is Autism Awareness Month that's happening very soon. But thank you for joining us, and all the best for your future. And and just because the fact that you're a woman as well, girls can do anything, but you're a woman with autism, and you can do anything.
Independence Women's Day on the 8th of March, which was quite good.
Did you enjoy that? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I say Women's Day is 365 days a year. Every year it's Women's Day. That's what I say.
Yeah, nice. Thank you for saying that as a man.
Yeah, no, darling. Some of us brothers need to pull our heads out, and love and respect our beautiful women. And that's what it's all about. And girls can do anything is what I say, Jessica.
Excellent. That sounds fabulous.
Nice talking to you, and all the best. And happy Autism Awareness Month. And you're an ambassador, and you're leading from the front, my sister. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you so much for ringing me.
And you take care.
You take care too.
Okay, bye-bye, Jessica.
Bye.
A deadly yarn there. Jessica Finn, her name is, and a lady in Brisbane, Sunshine Coast. And with autism, and she's calling for a better representation of autism in media. So when she talks about movies and what have you, her message is we're not unintelligent, and she's seen how the media shows that a lot. People make movies about us, and they will make us look like we're incapables. And also there's no need to treat us like we're still kids. even when we're in our 20s. So there it is. And Autism Awareness Month is happening. And be aware of our beautiful brothers and sisters out there with autism, and support each other as human beings. That's what we should be doing, you mob. Have your say, yarn up strong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah.
Yeah, Too Deadly, Love is a Medicine. That's by Colour Stone here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black, come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BB and Bumbaribrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, your mob ready for the yarns. Too Deadly. We're going to catch up. We have Samantha on the line from WA. Sam, good morning. No, we don't. Samantha, give me a call back. Lost you there, sister. Must have got cut off there on that journey from WA all the way to Cairns on that telephone line. So we'll try and get you back and continue your yarn. And a very good morning to you and your beautiful son there, your carer, John. Hope things are well. To the mob out there with the NRL fans, Rugby League. We had a just look at the scores since last spoke to you, mob, on Thursday night last week. The Rabbitohs defeated the Broncos 35-6. Beautiful game against Seagulls and Warriors. The golden point, a field goal there by Cherry Evans, 13-12. Manly went away with the win. Panthers annihilated the Raiders 30-10. In a feisty game of football there. The Titans flogged the Knights 42-16. And the Storms annihilated the Bulldogs 52-18. The Roosters got up over the Sharks 26-18. And the West Tigers defeated the Cowboys 30-34 when Cowboys were leading at halftime. And, yep, so looking for a win there. And the Dragons defeated Eels 26-12. Up-and-coming game. We're going to catch up now. I believe we've got Selwyn on the line. We're going to catch up now with Selwyn before we finish up here on National Talk Black. Selwyn, good morning. No, someone's not there. Someone's not there. Samantha's not there. No one's there. Only Trendy Trev, the bully one here with your diddly program, National Talk Black. Coming to you live here from First Nation Radio Station in Cairns here. The one-hour program comes to you live 11 a.m. to 12 noon from the Murray Radio Station in Cairns. A big shout to the First Nation Radio Station across the country. And this daily program, one-hour program, and it's a tool that we use in regarding our yarns, First Nation people, about our topics and issues that concern us and motivate us, inspire us, or frustrate us, either way. But a very open conversation with all involved. So, yeah, do utilise it as a deadly tool to have your say and yarn up strong. But got the news coming soon through NIRS, National News Radio Service. Big shout-out to the team down there. And click of a button, they put me across the airways, which goes across the country. Fantastic network. And like I said, a voice for our people. So do utilise it. Don't forget you can check out our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. And we can also text the brother 0457140550. And that text 24/7. I may not get back to you on the text 3 o'clock morning, but we will get back to you. I got the news coming very soon. You might look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe here in this deadly country of ours. We still have a pandemic and need to abide by the rules to keep safe. Here's Troy and Trevlin taking us through to the news. Dedication, Too Deadly.